May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the risen one. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. Risen Lord, all praise to you this holy day. We pray that you would cause your word to accomplish in us what you desire. Grant faith, grant repentance, grant the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may live for you as people of Easter, sins forgiven. May we gladly now hear your word and receive it in faith. We pray in your name, risen Jesus. Amen. Let him who has ears hear the word of the Lord. Easy question. Do you have ears? I didn't say eggs. Do you have ears? Let's hear it. Yes? All right, maybe pull on your ears, dig in them, get everything out of those ears. He who has ears, hear the word of the risen Lord. It's urgent. Don't wait around. Don't waste time. Now's the day to hear the word of God. This may be your last time, friend. It might be your last time to hear the word of the living God who loves you and has redeemed you. Pay attention. It's urgent. This is heaven and hell, life and death for each one of us. This is what it's all about. The cross, the resurrection, God, you and I. The angel said to the women, go quickly and tell the disciples that I'm alive. I'll meet them in Galilee. Go quickly. It's my task this day to quickly tell you the Easter gospel. We're going to move through it. The Easter gospel is not slow. Boom, 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 boom. It's fast paced. Hear the Easter gospel, believe it, and go tell your neighbor. I'm going to tell you the Easter gospel. I'm going to summarize it quick. So listen, then it's your job as the called, baptized people of God who believe to go tell that dying world. All the millions and billions that don't care about Easter. They don't know what it is. To go tell them that He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Are you ready? Four things about Easter from Matthew 28. Quick, urgent. You might take this to the world. Believe it yourself. Take it to them. First of all, as I read Matthew 28, there is trembling. There's Easter trembling. The first thing we read about on Easter is there's this great earthquake. Not a little tiny tremor, but a great earthquake. And for that matter, if you recall, there was a great earthquake also on Good Friday. So on Good Friday, when Jesus dies, God shakes the earth. And the rocks split. It's such a big earthquake. And now we read again when he rises, there's a big earthquake. God's shaking the earth. The stones roll away. Tremble. Shake. The awe of God. The fear of God. God is saying, wake up. That's why someone shakes you. Wake up. Pay attention. Listen. Believe God is saying, don't you realize I'm here? Believe in me. Trust me. I am your God. I am your Lord. I'm the only one that can deliver you and save you. So wake up out of your apathy and your deadness. Wake up, please. He shakes us. Do we realize what our God has done? Our God's done something greater than the Red Sea. He's done something greater than knocking on the walls of Jericho. Something greater than killing Goliath with the stone of David. Our God this day has conquered sin. It's forgiven. He's conquered death. It's now the door to heaven. He's conquered the devil. He's won the victory for all mankind. You and I and all people. No matter who we are, what we've done, it's ours. Do we realize what God has done? Wake up. There is this day about chocolate bunnies. And make sure the pastor gets a solid one, not one of those empty hollow ones. Is it about jelly beans? About the ham that's in the oven? And we sure hope we can get back and eat it. About wearing a pretty dress on Easter? Having a nice hat? Is that what the day's about? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Tremble. Shake. Wake up. God is saying there's nothing you can trust in this world. It's all falling away. Don't trust your money. It's going to burn. Your house will burn. Your possessions will burn. It's all wasting away. Trust in the rock of your salvation, the one you can cling to, which is Jesus. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who went, they must have trembled and they were shaken up by the earthquake. And notice who they cling to near the end of the story. They cling to Jesus. Life is shaky. We tremble. We're afraid. Who do we cling to? We cling to Jesus. Will you tremble today? Shake in awe at what your God's done? You know, I want to implement what I call the Easter shake today. All right, usually on Easter, and rightly so, we give each other a hug, great thing to do. Pat each other on the back, great thing to do. Warm greetings, great thing. This is what you got to do on Easter, and for that matter, onward in life. Find somebody today. A family member, a friend, and give them the Easter shake. That's what God does. He shakes us. Grab them by the shoulders, one hand on one shoulder, one on the other. Look them in the eye. And shake them a little bit. Don't hurt them, okay? Don't hurt them. A little shake and say this. Repeat after me. This is what you're going to do today, okay? Find somebody. This is what you're going to do. Repeat after me. Friend, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. Jesus loves you. Wake up. Believe. Follow him. Give him the Easter shake. Get real, friend. What's your life about? Where are you going when you die? This might be your last chance to hear the Easter shake. Second, there's the Easter triumph. Oh, there's the Easter triumph. This is the meat of the Easter gospel. The women come to the tomb and there are two pictures of victory in the Easter gospel. Number one, they see the Roman soldiers lying there as if they're dead. They must have laughed. They were terrified of these Roman soldiers. They're the ones that mocked Jesus, spit on Jesus, put the thorns on his head, crucified him. But now they're lying there as if they're dead. It's defeat of the enemy. God is saying the enemy is defeated. Rome cannot keep me away from you. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Say it with me. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Not Rome, not the Sanhedrin, not sin, not death, not the devil, not all of hell. The enemy is defeated. The enemy is in the past. You've been saved from all the bad guys. The bad guys in the past, you've been saved from that. That's one aspect of victory. There's something else. The other aspect of victory is the angel. Then they see this angel just sitting there. His appearance like lightning, his clothes white as snow. This is what we've been saved into. You've been saved from all the bad stuff. It's forgiven. It's gone. But what now? I've been saved into glory. I've been saved into heaven. As pastors told the kids, we see our future. The past is forgiven. Enemies defeated. My future glory. This angel is here. Not so that we understand what angels look like. That's not the point. This is what an angel looks like. The angel is a model of you and I. For Jesus said that in heaven we will be like the angels. We won't be an angel. We'll be like the angels. And the angel shines, lightning, white as snow, sitting there content, sitting on the tomb. He's conquered death, you see. This is you and I. This is the application of Easter for you. What's this had to do with me? It happened 2,000 years ago over there in Jerusalem. You believe and are baptized, you'll be like that angel. You will shine in glory, the resurrection of your body. You're going to live forever, a new body, an immortal body, conquering all things and live with God forever. The angel represents you and I. Saved from the bad guys, saved into glory with God forever. Victory, triumph. He is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. I will rise. You guys are weak. Are you really going to rise or not? I will rise. I will rise indeed. Hallelujah. Believe it. You know, I read in a Reader's Digest this a few months ago where scientists are studying animals to try to help us live longer. Some animals live a long time. What is it about that animal that lives a long time that might help us humans to live longer? Do you know what animal some scientists are studying that might help us live longer? You'll never guess. The great jellyfish. It's no joke. They are studying the jellyfish because the jellyfish has something in it that makes it live a long, long time. Maybe the jellyfish, our hope is in the jellyfish. You can laugh at that one. A jellyfish? Please. And I don't want to just live longer. Who wants to live that long on this earth with an old body like mine? Grain, fat. Who wants to live that way? I want to live forever in glory with a new body. Our hope is not in a jellyfish. Our hope is in Jesus, the Son of God who died and rose. There's trembling, there's triumph. Can we move on? Then there's, it gets even better, there's the touch of Easter. There is the great Easter touch. It gets better. The women then leave the tomb, and who do they meet? They meet Jesus, the risen one. And what do? They took hold of his feet. They touched him. They thought they were going to touch his dead body and anoint it with spices. But now he's alive. He's risen right there in front of them. And they get to touch his living body, the one who rose. They clasp his feet. They touch him. They don't just look at him, glance at him. They touch him and they worship him. The Easter touch. Touching the risen Jesus. Notice in the text how the Holy Spirit connects worship and touching Jesus. To worship means to touch Jesus. To worship means to touch Jesus. Not just give him a glance now and then when it fits into your busy schedule. Not just think about him now and then. Not just be near him here or there. To worship is to be in the presence and to touch the living Jesus. The Holy Spirit is giving us a little lesson here. He's saying, you want to be like that angel? You want to live forever and be in glory and be as white as snow in righteousness and glory? You want to be all that, women and church? You want to be in glory? That's your future? Then touch Jesus. Worship and touch Jesus. Because in Jesus is life. The angel gets all his glory from Jesus, you see. The angel is lightning and white as snow because of Jesus. Not because of himself, because of Jesus. Jesus is the glorious one. He is the one who is white as snow, shines like the sun, not like lightning, but like a sun. That's Jesus. In him is righteousness and holiness. And as you touch him then he transfers all that to you. As you touch Jesus, he takes sin, death, sickness, disease, and hell, takes it all upon himself and gives you glory, righteousness, love, and everlasting life. Now you ask, well, Pastor, that sounds nice. How do I touch him? That's 2,000 years ago over there in Jerusalem. That's Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and they touch his feet. How do I ever touch him today? I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it's many years later. Let me tell you how you touch him today. This is Christian worship. You touch him with these right here. What are these called? Your ears. You touch him with your ears as you hear the gospel, as you hear the word of God regularly. You are touching Jesus right now, or he is touching you. Both are true. And then you touch him when you come in communion. This is my body. This is my blood. Here is the crucified, risen one. He's not over in Jerusalem somewhere. He didn't go back in the tomb. He's not the groundhog. He didn't go back in. He's still alive. He's with his church. And he's here every Sunday, every Wednesday. As his word's preached, as we have Holy Communion, my body, my blood, I'm here for forgiveness. Come and touch. Come and touch him. To receive forgiveness, life, salvation. You might shine in glory. Come and touch. The kids would know this. You have an Easter egg hunt today? I had an Easter egg hunt when I was a kid. My three brothers, my sister in it, and cousins. Is it enough when you have an Easter egg hunt? Is it enough to see the Easter egg over there and then the Easter egg is yours? That ain't how it works in my family. All right? Just seeing it over there doesn't make it yours. How about being near the Easter egg? You know, your little one walks really, really close to the bush, and you're going, ah, they're right there! See the egg! But they never see it, they don't grab it. Is it their egg yet? It ain't their egg yet. How about if the kid sits inside the house crying and thinks about Easter eggs? Is the egg their egg if they think about it in the house? It ain't their egg. They have to bend over and grab the cotton pick an egg with candy in it. They got to grab that egg, touch it, put it in their basket. Then it's their egg, unless it's like my brother who stole my eggs out of my basket, okay? That won't happen. This might be an illustration of worship. To see Jesus from afar now and then, that ain't good enough, friend. That ain't Christianity, okay? To think about him as you drive by church, I'm a Christian, there's my church, but I never go in it. That ain't Christianity. That ain't cut it. Sorry to tell you, I'm being straight with you. That does not cut it with God. Just to see him from afar and drive by and think about him as I sleep in bed and I'm too lazy to come to church, that ain't cut it. All right? You need to come into the presence of Jesus. The women didn't walk by him and say, "We're too busy, Jesus, sorry. We got to go play golf." The women touched him. Come and touch. Ears, mouth, touch, and live. If you don't do that, to be blunt, and you end up in hell, don't blame me. I told you so. And so did God. This is serious stuff, this Easter stuff. I want you all to be in heaven. I want you to be in heaven. I know I'm going. Are you sure you're going? Are you honoring your God by being in his presence and touching him? Is it all a big show? To finish up, there is the great truth of Easter. Here's the climax. This is all true. Matthew 28 is true. It is not a fairy tale. It is not fiction. It's not a nice idea that someone came up with and put it in a book. It's not speculation. It's not a theory. This is the truth. Believe it. This may be your final time to hear it. Believe it. Repent. Touch Christ. Believe in him. Trust in him. Jesus is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose again that you may live forever. He has reconciled you to God. It's all done by Jesus. He is the resurrection, the life. He's the stone the builders rejected, but has become the capstone. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the good shepherd. He's the bread of life, the light of the world, your Savior, your Lord. It's all true. Believe it. We don't say he might be risen. We don't say he could be risen. But we say he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I read in a little article, an Easter article, where someone wrote down ideas to excite your kids for Easter, to spice up Easter. And they noticed some fancy Easter eggs you can make. You can make a polka dot Easter egg now, whatever that is, to spice up Easter. If you're really hurried, you can just put stickers on an Easter egg. They have fancy stickers. Put them on an Easter egg, kids, to spice up Easter. You can make an egg into a bunny and have a bunny egg. Looks like a bunny, to spice up Easter. If you really want to get fancy, there is what is called here the marshmallow barnyard centerpiece. All right, this is a centerpiece for your table. You make it out of marshmallows and jelly beans and all this good candy. And you make barnyard animals, all of this stuff. And then guess what? After you eat your ham, you can eat the thing. The edible marshmallow barnyard centerpiece. All the spice up Easter. None of that's wrong. It's all okay. Have fun. But do we need to spice up Easter? We got to add to Easter somehow? May this excite our children and thrill their hearts to the core. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You've heard the Easter gospel. You've heard the Easter gospel. Now go quickly. Tell the dying world. Tell your friend, your neighbor. Tell them all. Christ died. Christ rose. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and sing. 461, stanzas 5 through 8. We sing with boldness our faith in our Redeemer.